First of all, I would like to start us off with 600, number 600, and that is Wonderful Words of Life. If we can sing the first and third verses. These weren't all my own, although they are all my favorites. So, and the Spirit song, both of those verses we'll sing.
and his love that fill your and satisfy your soul. That hold you and his feet like a dove will descend upon your life and make you. Thank you.
Thank you, Colleen, for that beautiful prelude. It was wonderful. I love our music in the morning. Good morning, my name is Susan Walmsley, and I'm pleased to be able to welcome you to the House of Faith United Methodist Church of Yucaipa. And again, I'll say it's wonderful to see you all. I'm happy to see our longtime member, Jerry Pugh, able to worship with us this morning, and how wonderful it is to just see him out and about. Full of energy. A few announcements. You know, we have the usual. First of all, I'm looking to see if I see somebody new here. I don't. But that's okay, too. Oldies are goodies. So I will continue with our usual announcements. Please make sure that you visit us across the hall after our service so that we can welcome you and see what's going on in the last week or so. Those persons who went on that trip to the see the flowers bloom, I'm sure would love to share their excitement of that outing that Deb led. And so I'll continue in with the announcements that we have for today. And of course, we're welcoming and continue to say hey out there to those persons who are having a birthday this month. Rachel's here, so we know that she's celebrating a birthday. Who else is here today? Jan is here, so we see Jan and we say, happy birthday, Jan, happy birthday, Rachel. And that's all I see in our church, but are they online? I'm not sure. I don't think I saw anybody. Alicia might have been online, but I saw that so briefly, I'm not sure. Anyway, continuing on, happy birthday to you all. And continuing on with our Easter lilies, you still have time to purchase an Easter lily. The forms are out at the in the narthex. All you need to do is fill that out, put your $12 in the envelope, and leave it in the offering plate, and that will be picked up so that we will have beautiful orchids in our sanctuary on Easter morning. That will be so special. And along with that, we're looking for donations of plastic eggs and small wrapped candy are needed to be put into those eggs for a children's egg hunt. And then we will have, so that'll be for the egg hunt. We're still asking, actually today, if I recall correctly, is actually Umcore Sunday, is March 19th. And so we're asking you to, if you're able, to help Umcore, which helps others that are in need and disaster. And so that offering is especially necessary at this time when there's just so much relief that's needed across the nation and internationally, I should say. And then we're having the World Vision 30-hour famine we're still collecting money for. So please continue to support World Vision, and that can be done easily. Once again, an envelope at our offering plate, or the easiest and quickest way is to go out onto our website, and as you can see, Deb has set up a button that you can easily donate to the 30-hour famine, which goes to World Vision. And next, the pastor's hungry, and he doesn't like to...
Always.
Always. And he doesn't like to eat alone. Who does? And so the first monthly meeting of the Munch Brunch, or the group, will be this Wednesday, March 22nd at 12 noon with lunch at the Legends 8 Chinese Restaurant in Calamasa. And so that's on Calamasa Boulevard. Between, well, you know where it is. It's across the street from the Stater Brothers, if you know where the Stater Brothers is. So it's easy to find. There's a Starbucks in the same shopping center. So Please clear your schedule for March 22nd. The cost will be $10 to $12 per person. If you need transportation, please contact our pastor, or please contact Lauren in the church office, and she can help coordinate any transportation needs that are necessary. So that should be fun. March 22nd lunch. And we're still continuing with our Hearts Grow. Today isn't the 2nd or the 4th, but it is on the 2nd and the 4th Sundays, and that's held in the children's church room. The Whiteboard Bible Study is held in the Camellia Room, and that's at 11 today. So you can join that study, a video study covering the church and Jesus' return. It's been a 6-week study, so you can join at any time. And lastly, for our announcements, we have beginning April 16th at 11 o'clock to watch and discuss The Chosen. And so this is going to be a series, and so you are invited to come and participate in that video and discussion on April 16th at 11 a.m. And that concludes our announcements for this morning. And now, if you'll please join me and stand, if you're able, and join me in the call to worship. How good and how pleasant it is for children of God to dwell together in unity.
It is like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard.
It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion.
For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life evermore.
And now if you'll continue standing while we sing, When Morning Gilds the Skies, number 185.
Yes, and shake hands.
And shake your hands. Or shake. It's good to be able to move around, so. And June is out there as well. So it's wonderful to see you all on Zoom still. There's June waving at us, and
June,
there's April waving at us.
June and Joyce.
Good, good, good. So if you will kindly return to your seats, that will be wonderful. Thank you for saying hello to everybody. It makes me feel good to see you all saying hello, and I hope that it made you feel warm and cozy too. And so now we're going to share our joys and concerns. If you on Zoom, if any of you have a concern, please put your hand up so we will make sure that we don't forget you. But in the room, do we have anybody with a joy or a concern? Please raise your hand. Deb has the mic.
A friend of mine has a granddaughter who was born premature. The mother had preeclampsia. I may have mentioned them before. The mom's name is Carolina. And the baby girl is Romy, and she's starting to lose weight, and they're very concerned because she has so many digestive problems. So pray for Romy.
Thanks to Susan, Jerry here is with us worshiping. Great. Great to see you, Jerry.
I want to thank thank you, Amber, the congregation for my prayers and uplifting you had with me. So when I had my down day, I call it down days. I had three strokes. I got a problem with my throat. I can't swallow. I got arthritis and all everything that goes through the so. Thank you.
Jerry, it's wonderful to see you, and we'll keep praying for you.
Deb, if you would repeat what he said.
He said he had three strokes, mm-hmm. and he really appreciates our prayers, and that he's got a problem with his throat, but he's glad for our prayers and is glad to be here. So keep praying for him.
Jerry is a fighter. I mean, he has done so well in spite of the cancer in the bones, right? And he's been fighting all this time, and he has done so well. So we are so proud of you, Jerry, and so happy to see you today.
Yes.
Hi, my name is Pat Shores. This is the month of my mother's birth. Her birthday is this coming Friday. A while back, I suggested that people might like to do what I'm doing. I'm giving an extra donation for every one of my family's birthdays. I have eight brothers and sisters, and of course, like most people, I had two parents, so that's 10 extra donations a year. I don't have any kids or grandkids, but I bet a lot of you do. You can honor them by making a little extra donation to the church. I think that would be appreciated.
Thank you.
And did we have anyone on Zoom who wanted to express a concern or a joy? There is April that does. April Klein, we'll hear from her. Or maybe she was just reaching.
I just want you to know that Bill and I are doing just great. We're both healing, and we miss our church, and we want to come back, sit right there with you guys, and we just love you all.
How's your right arms? Can you move a little bit? Praise God for that. You are making progress.
Damn.
Great. Well, continue to pray for April and Bill. Yes.
Any others on Zoom?
I'd like to ask your prayers upon Steve, Anna, and Katie. Steve has to work today. He's the county jail chaplain. And Anna is not feeling well, so Katie is not here, but we want to remember them in our prayers.
Thank you. Then now, if you will join with me in the unison prayer, please, on the screen. I believe in God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From then he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence, remembering once more all the prayer requests that have been brought to our attention, remembering all our loved ones, the people we have in our life circle, and people in need of healing here and everywhere in the world today. Lord Jesus Christ, we humbly come before you, acknowledging that you have the power to mend our brokenness. Lord, we see this brokenness in our personal lives in this world. We are not just talking about physical brokenness, but our spiritual brokenness as well. So, Lord, we come and ask your healing upon us. You can, through your Holy Spirit, reach deep down within us and heal our spirit, heal our soul, heal our body. And, oh, Lord, you can use your people in this world that whom you have planted everywhere. You can use them to touch the lives and touch all those brokenness in this world today. There are problems that are so big that we cannot do anything, but Lord, you are our mighty God. You can mend our brokenness when there are wars and violences and crimes. You can touch their lives with your Holy Spirit and your peace. So, Lord, we come and we especially ask to mend our brokenness in your churches today. And as you prayed, honestly, bring all your churches back to unity. So we ask your healing upon your churches. Lord, we see problems within and without, but regardless of all the troubles we have seen, you have sustained our lives so faithfully. So as we come together as one community of faith, we acknowledge who you are in our life. You are our sovereign God. You have everything under your control, even when we do not see it that way. You are the one to whom we all belong. So we, as one community, submit ourselves to you and to your control, and we yield to you, O Lord. We yield to your plan. We yield to your power upon us. So we ask that you continue to use us individually. Use us as your church, and use this community and this state and the world today to bring glory to your name. So now we join our hearts and prayers, praying together, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Your sister goes to get water from the well every day. And when you're not in school, you go and help her. It's very difficult work. And you or your sister have to go 12 times a day to get enough. The well often has trash blown into it, and frogs at the bottom. When it gets bad enough, the men from your village go to clean it out. It's dangerous work, and it doesn't take long for the well to get dirty again. You use the water to cook, wash your clothes, and bathe in. It often makes you sick, and you wish there was clean water close by.
Dadu Harihano, I baff now a kangu. This is a dumb or something. I don't know what I'm saying. Come in ten, I wouldn't seem to know. Come in ten, no, can I say?
Malaria is common in your area and kills a lot of people, especially kids. Many also get pneumonia and have stomach issues. You often feel sick from malnutrition and from dirty water. you get headaches and stomach aches. When you're sick, you go to see the chief in your village, and he gives you medicines. World Vision built a health clinic in a nearby village. Your family goes there if someone gets really sick. This year, your sister got so weak that she had to spend 6 days in the clinic. You're grateful that there's help nearby if someone really needs it. Many of the clinics in Niger aren't as nice as the one World Vision built.
Thank you, Deb, for preparing those messages on the 30-hour famine. And again, any donations can be made through the website or putting an envelope offering. And now, please, if you will, join me in singing the Sacred Hymn number 286. Chapter 7 of John, and it's verses 20 through 26. And I read, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given them, so that they may be one as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire that those also whom you have given me may be with me where I am, to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known, so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. The word of the Lord, or the people of the Lord.
Thanks be to the Lord. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is this on? Yes. So good to see you all. As you know, that the drought in California is officially over, and we are expecting more rain. And they talk about now rain being the problem. So that is so wonderful. I pray that each of us will have a visit from our Lord Jesus and through His Holy Spirit. And we will get to hear the message that God has prepared for all of us this morning. The wife of an art dealer who was anxious to sell some Gothic tapestries to the great J. Pierpont Morgan was amazed and annoyed when her husband awakened her at 3 o'clock one morning and commanded her to say, "I'll pay you $1 million for your Gothic tapestries." She couldn't see no sense in that. In the first place, she didn't have $1 million, and even if she had, why should she offer to buy tapestries from her own husband? "Just say it, please," he implored. Sleepily, she complied, repeated the suggested word, turned over, and went back to sleep. At 9 o'clock next morning, the dealer, who took great pride in his integrity, told Mr. Morgan, "I can swear on a stack of Bible that at 3 o'clock this morning, I had an offer of $1 million for those tapestries." Well, it happened. The Bible is a popular symbol of truth, honesty, and integrity. It is used to express one's commitment to act according to these high moral standards. Traditionally, U.S. presidents have used to take the oath of office during inaugurations. Courtrooms keep the Bible as a symbol of fairness and justice. We know that the Bible influenced Roman laws, English laws, the Declaration of Independence, and the Constitution. For Christ churches, the Bible goes far deeper than those popular significances. There are 2.2 billion Christians worldwide, more than 200 denominations in the U.S., and it is hard to believe, but more than 45,000 Christian denominations worldwide. Well, some say 47,000. The vast scope of the believers and churches have common roots of faith. They all believe in the Trinity, and the Bible is the common foundation of their faith. These commonalities ascertain that all the churches and believers belong to one big church of Jesus and bring the churches and the believers together in unity. This morning, we are going to reflect upon the significance of the scripture for Christian unity. Firstly, let us look at how honestly Jesus wanted unity among his followers. Jesus taught his followers to pray in an isolated place to be alone with God. He often prayed in a solitary place like a mountainside by himself. Look at praying in solitary places from a practical perspective. Prayer is a conversation with God. Talking with God privately means a serious and lengthy talk. No one would take a long time to reach a mountainside to pray for a short time. And the gospel records that Jesus frequently prayed alone through the night. That was his private prayer. He took a long time to pray in solitary places. Now, if you look at the public prayer written in the gospel, we know that his public prayers were usually short. Except the prayer that he said in chapter 17 of John. He said this exceptional public prayer during the Passion Week. Now, looking at those aspects of private prayer, public prayer, and then Jesus had this exceptional long prayer, we can conclude that Jesus was very serious in praying what was written in John 17. And there's more to it. Speaking of seriousness, there is one particular theme that Jesus repeated, in my opinion, 7 times in a row. Actually, the scripture we just read is a continuation of the theme of Christian unity over and over. But I can at least pinpoint out 7 different times that's related to the Christian unity. And let me read those 7 parts. First, all of them may be one, Father. Second, just as you are in me and I in you. 3, may they be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. 4, a little bit later, that they may be one. 5, as we are one. 6, I in them and you in me. 7, so that they may be brought to complete unity. It could be my personal interpretation of it, but among all the prayers that Jesus prayed, this is one of the most serious prayers Jesus ever prayed during his public ministry. He prayed this much seriously for Christian unity. Now, Christian unity is the part of the primary doctrine of the Apostles' Creed. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. Some of you wonder why we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. We are Methodists, not Roman Catholics. Have you noticed that our hymnal has the chapter of affirmation from the page 880? And I'm going to open that. 880 of our hymnal in the back, it has the whole sections of affirmation of faith. It contains the Nicene Creed, the Apostles' Creed, the Apostles' Creed in Ecumenical Version, a statement of faith of the United Church of Canada, a statement of faith of the Korean Methodist Church. You know, Koreans are very, minority here in the United States and in other parts of the world, but Methodism plays a very big part in the World Methodist Church. The World Methodist Social Affirmation and more, it's all in there, in the back of the hymnal. The contents of those affirmations may slightly differ, but basically share the same. If you look at the Apostles' Creed in our bulletin, the word Catholic is in a low case. If it is capitalized, it would mean the Roman Catholic Church. So then, what does Catholic in a low case mean? The Apostles' Creed is on page 881, and it has the double asterisk on the right next to the word Catholic. And in the bottom of it, on the footnote, it says universal, right? Catholic means universal. Catholic came from a Greek word, katholikos, which is a combination of words kata, which is about, and holos. You know what holos is, because whole and holos, it has a same, it says holos is the root of the word, English word, whole. So it's about the whole, or in general, or in or universal. So we affirm to believe in the one holy universal church. Even though we are many, we share the same faith in God the Father, His Son Jesus Christ, our Savior, and the Spirit of Christ. My page is a little bit messed up here. The Holy Scripture is one foundation of our faith, and we receive one baptism into the body of Christ. If we belong to one universal church of Jesus, why do we have so many denominations? Denominations may sound like differences and disunity, but not necessarily so. Think of churches as educational institutions. School divides students into small groups and spread them out to provide a better education. Putting all the kids in one big classroom is not good for education. And we see a similar practice in the scripture as well. You know, right after the Exodus, Moses was the only judge for the whole population, over 2 million people. And Moses was so overwhelmed to take care of that business all day. And he was so exhausted. And his father-in-law, Jethro, advised Moses to appoint officials to be in charge of thousands, hundred, fifties, and tens, and those officials serve as judges and took care of small cases. Difficult ones were brought to Moses. Many denominations function like that. They can nurture individual believers much better. Now, another positive aspect of denomination is that renewal movement to go back to the original foundation of faith often creates new denominations. We are very familiar with the Protestant Reformation by Martin Luther in the 16th century and the Methodist Revival by John Wesley in the 18th century. And let me share with you what Martin Luther and John Wesley did in terms of Christian unity. When Martin Luther protested the practices of the Roman Catholic Church in 1517, he never intended to create a new church. He was a very devout Catholic and wanted the church to operate according to the scriptural teaching. Even though the Roman Catholic Church labeled Luther a heretic, Luther still kept his views on Mary as sinless Mother of God, prayed to her, and encouraged others to do the same. Not many Lutherans pay attention to that, but that's what Luther did. Luther was excommunicated by Pope Leo X in 1521. But he continued to advocate his views on Mary. Even after 6 years after his excommunication, he preached as follows, and I quote, "It is a sweet and pious belief that the infusion of Mary's soul was effected without original sin, so that in the very infusion of her soul, she was also purified from original sin and adorned with God's gift. Receiving a pure soul infused by God, thus from the first moment she began to live, she was free from all sin." Luther had to move away from Roman Catholicism in the end, because he put the scripture above papal authority and the church tradition. But the point is, he held on to the scripture, which is the one common foundation of the Roman Catholic and the Lutheran and all the other Protestant churches. Now, John Wesley was born the son of an Anglican priest and became an Anglican priest. The famous Aldersgate conversion in London in 1738 transformed him to reach out and preach to the social outcasts in the open air, which was not accepted by the Anglican Church. You know, Anglican Church is a high church, and all the worship is supposed to be done in a beautiful, you know, sanctuary, and you cannot preach out in the open like John Wesley preached. You know, climb up the tombs on top of, he stood on top of the tomb and then preach. They didn't allow anybody to do that, but John Wesley did. Eventually, John Wesley was not allowed to preach in thousands of Anglican churches, but he kept his allegiance to the church. He wrote 12 reasons against the separation from the Church of England in 1758, and his brother Charles added a note to it saying, "I think myself bound in duty to add my testimony to my brothers," that is John. His 12 reasons against our ever separating from the Church of England are mine also. I subscribe to them with all my heart. I am quite clear that it is neither expedient nor lawful for me to separate. And I never had the least inclination or temptation to do so." End quote. John Wesley wanted the Methodist movement to strive for spiritual awakening of the Anglican Church. Never intended to separate from that. The Anglican Church kicked him out, regardless. But Wesley still maintained that he was an Anglican priest until his death. Now, there have been a lot of battles between the Roman Catholic and Protestant. And you know that a very, very serious battle in British Isles and in many different parts of Europe. Right now, there is a big season between the Russian Orthodox and the Ukrainian Orthodox. And if you have heard, you know, this crazy, the patriarch of the Russian Orthodox Church who justified the Russia's aggression, invasion into Ukraine, turns out to be a spy of former KGB. That's why, you know, he's supporting Putin and even suggested that the nuclear war would be justified. I tell you my personal side of the story. My bishop, when I was in New England, he went to the ecumenical gathering, and you know, he's a Methodist bishop. There were, you know, so many churches in New England. And then the meeting happened to be held in a Catholic church, right? And then, you know, when the Catholic church hold the meeting, the mass, they always have communion. And this Methodist bishop proceeded, right, to receive the communion. And guess what? He was refused publicly to receive communion from the communion table. I wear this, you know, clerical collar as part of the Methodist tradition, and I went to a church. I mean, a store. The cleric, you know, product they sell in Korea, Seoul, Korea, and this lady somehow sensed that I wasn't a Catholic priest, and refused to sell me this clerical collar. Right. There are a lot of you know, seasons and stripes like that. But pay attention. Luther's followers moved away from Roman Catholic Church and Methodists from the Church of England. But those founders, what did they do? They did not try to create a new denomination. They believe in one holy Catholic universal church. If you have heard of this news that the United Methodist is experiencing schism, and I'm going to share that with you in the newsletter, and you will see what's going on. I don't have time to go into detail this morning. So schism's everywhere. In the midst of schism, we want to learn from Martin Luther and Wesley brothers. Scripture is the sole and common foundation of faith that brings all the churches and all the believers together in unity. Let me read what the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 in closing. He said, "Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." Amen.
It is now time for the presentation of our tithes and offerings, and we continue to accept your tithes and offerings in the narthex. Today, David Brown is going to be singing a beautiful song for us. Were you there?
Jesus Christ, this offering is our token to acknowledge that you are our Savior, that you are our sustainer, that you are all the source of blessings that we have received from you. We recommit ourselves to you and to your service as we give this offering. And we ask you to receive it, bless it, that it may be used to do the ministries through this congregation. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now if you'll join in singing our hymn, The Church's One Foundation, number 545.
Church is one foundation, is Jesus Christ the Lord. She is His creation by water and the word. From heaven He came and sought her to be His holy bride. With His own blood He brought her, and for her life He died. Elect from every nation, yet one of all the earth, the charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth. One holy name He blesses, partakes one holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Though we thus scornful wonder, we see her so oppressed, by schism rent asunder, by heresies distressed. Yes, saints their watch are keeping, their cries goes up along, and soon the night of weeping shall be the morn of song. Lord Jesus, You pray for our unity, and we see the hope of unity even though we see many differences. So, Lord, please continue to work within Your churches here and everywhere so that we may all come together in one place, that we may all be in unity and confess that You are our one Lord and we have this one faith in You. So we ask Your blessing upon all the believers and all Your churches in the world, that we may come to this term of unity that You honestly prayed. So Lord, bless all of us as we go from here, that we may be Your agent in this world, that we may find many differences, but we can still come to this common ground through You. And we ask You to bless us and send us forth in Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Fast, strong, and true. Oh, He will guide you in all you do. Oh, now in love and show you believe. Reach out to others.